Hey guys, welcome back to the pod. I'm here with my girl Kiki. You know her from The Talk of Shame on Instagram or from Reality Checked on Radio Andy. Welcome back to the pod. What's up?
I'm actually so curious, like, you're like the audience from the first time I ever came on your show, who probably like hated me. I'm so curious what their thoughts on me are now.
They like you now. And when I put that little thing up saying to ask questions, a lot of people were like, I don't have a question, but I love you both. And then other people were asking questions that I already have answered on Patreon. So I'm like, well, I'm not doing that again because that's behind a paywall. So they're not getting that. I am currently in New York. You're in Los Angeles. I have been sending you voice notes like all week about how much I hate New York. I have a few things to say about it. Okay. I may have misjudged New York a bit because I will say that I went out for dinner last night to Cafeteria. I don't know if you've been there.
Of course. It's a classic.
It was so good. The food was great. I had good company. It was a fun night, and I, you know, I walked back, and it was a nice walk back to the hotel, and I was kind of thinking, I'm like, look, I've been sick all week. I don't know what I came down with, but I've been sick. You know, I got thrown straight into work. It is winter. It's fucking expensive here. So I was like, I don't know, maybe I've been too harsh on New York.
I think you have. I mean, I think that, look, I love New York. I think that you can fall in love just with some of the smallest things. And are there times that, like, I absolutely was miserable? Of course, but I still love it. Now, I paid my dues there, though. Like, and I did that, and it was great. And I think that everyone should experience it. But I'm ready to, like, chill.
While I've been here, I've kind of been thinking to myself, like, you know, maybe it would be different if I was here just, like, on a vacay, but the grind, like, I imagine the grind of working here. I mean, I've only been working here 2 weeks, but I'm like, if I had to catch, like, the subway to work every day, which is just revolting, and I cannot believe that I used to bitch about the Sydney train system. Like, I used to rage about the Sydney trains and be like, you know, this is like a third world country here. Like, this is disgusting. And then I came to New York and I got the subway once, and I'm like, this is like a train to hell. Like, it's so filthy and gross. And even like the metro thing where you get the card from, I'm like, is this left over from like Taxi Driver in the 70s? Like, have you not updated this? Like, everything is just so like archaic. And then I'm like flashing back to when I would catch the train in Sydney, right, to work. And it goes like past like the Sydney Harbour Bridge with like sunshine and like the ocean and everything. I'm like, okay, this is like kind of like paradise.
You haven't made the mistake of like seeing the one empty train on a crowded train and being like, oh, it's empty, I'm gonna go in. Just know that there's a reason it's empty, and it's usually because a homeless person shit in it. So don't ever go into the empty subway train. And hope you never have to go to a police station, because the first time I ever had to go to a police station to file a police report, that was when I knew that there was just no funding in New York, because like what you see in the movies, like literally desk and clocks from like 1964, like they have not been given any upgrades at all.
Okay, but I feel like the police here, like the cops in New York, I feel like they would actually like apprehend a criminal. Like, I feel like in LA, they just let them run roam free.
Okay, can I tell you about the time that I was working alone, and it was me and one of my employees, and a man snuck into our building, came into our office with his pants down and his dick hanging out. And I literally, like, that was when, though, I knew I was like, they say, are you like a fight or flight? I knew I was a fighter, because I literally like grabbed a chair and I was like, get the fuck out of here. And I started taking video of him. Locked him out, locked ourselves in the office, called the police. 2 hours later, we're still in the office. Never showed up. Two women. Never came.
Okay, that's hardcore. But I feel like that would happen in LA as well. I also feel like the LA people, they would be flight. They're not going to stay and fight. Like, I think that's maybe more of a New York thing to get the chair and start swinging. but yeah, I don't know. I'm going through New York in my head. I'm like, have I been too tough on it? I will say I hate the weed smell everywhere. Like, you go out and there's just weed everywhere for some reason. I don't know what the, like, is it legal here or are people just like potheads?
So what happened was it got legalized, like, maybe like, I don't know, like a year or so ago. And then, but the problem is, and so people started just basically opening up shops. But the reality is all of those shops are illegal. There's maybe like 5 legal shops. So they're all illegal shops. And so I don't know. I think New York was just so ready to be like, yeah, it's legalized. So they think they could just kind of smoke anywhere. And it's kind of funny. But I went into a weed shop the last time I was there. And I'm used to California. I mean, California has had this, is down to a science. It is very, you're going into like cafe. You're going, it's very nice. It's like going into a luxury store. I went into a New York one. I was like, no, I don't know if I'm going to be smoking one of those weird, you know, like fake. I don't know if this is real. I don't want to smoke this.
I'm scared to smoke anything now. I mean, I always go back and forth over the vape thing because they always tell you that like vapes are so bad for you now. But I'm always like, is that just big tobacco like putting out fake misinformation to like sabotage the vaping industry, or are the vapes like really fucking us up? Like, I don't know.
I mean, I don't know about like weed vapes. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I will
just
say
vaping,
I got
in general.
Yeah, I mean, I got hooked on a Juul for a good minute. And I will say that, you know, I've smoked cigarettes, like in high school, I would smoke cigarettes, but I never got addicted. I was just kind of like, oh, every once in a while. That vape, literally, those memes are true. I would get angry. Like, if I couldn't find it, I was ripping my apartment apart. And when California started putting, like, they're like, oh, we're not going to start selling the flavored ones, I said, you know what? I have to quit this, because if it gets to a point where I can't access it and I'm behaving in this manner, this is not good.
Yeah, it's definitely the flavors that hooks you. Like, I only went through a short vaping stint, and it was when the vapes first came out, so you couldn't get the little like trendy Juuls that are just easy. You had like a whole, like, girl, they look like they were made in like the 1920s, like the first airplane, you know, like there was all these like pieces you had to put in, you had to order the flavors separately and like load them in like a fucking old Game Boy. And yeah, I was doing the different flavors, and you get like pineapple and everything. And I was like, oh, this is so good. Like, I'll never eat dessert again. Like, I'm just gonna vape like cotton candy. And then I just like couldn't be bothered with it. I do like the lack of homeless in New York compared to LA, because like LA, it's like unavoidable here. Like, they're still homeless here, but it's not at a level where I feel like I'm in The Walking Dead. Although I did have to eat next to a homeless man today in Shake Shack, which I didn't love. And there are also a lot of homeless in the Whole Foods at the Hot Bar, which is where I've been eating every night because I can't really afford to eat anywhere else.
Yeah.
And girl, there's a lot of homeless hanging upstairs at the Hot Bar.
Well, that's the thing, because New York has seasons, they'll go inside. So, of course, they're in train stations a lot and they're in places, whereas LA, it's nice. So, of course, you see them more in the streets, because why wouldn't you be in the streets? And like, you don't have to go inside. It's probably cooler out there. I will say, it was so funny you say that, because I was driving past this homeless person today who was very attractive. And I will say there is more potential in LA to want to date a homeless person, because I don't, like, I can't explain it, but there's like, they're just like buff. They kind of just look like dirty skater. Like, not all of them, but like, if you go to the west side near the beach, like, yeah, it's exactly. Like, they just had it hard. And I'm like,
they just had an audition.
And yeah. I definitely know, I will say, I'm not going to name them, but I've definitely known people who've definitely like dated a homeless or two, like, you know, cleaned them and not like, you know, tent homeless, you know, but.
Yeah, like not a tent homeless, but like in and out of their car and like couch surfing a bit and stuff. I do think that the LA homeless, though, from what I've experienced, they're a little more like, they're definitely a little more cracked out. Like, the homeless that I've seen in New York so far, you know, they're kind of just like doing their thing. Like, even the one that I sat next to today in the Shake Shack, like, he was on like Instagram, like he was like flicking through reels, like next to me for real. And then I remember, like, I had flashbacks to LA last year, and I'm remembering having to like cross the street because someone's like thrashing on the corner because they're like tweaked out or whatever. Like, you definitely have to cross the street a few times in LA.
I would say, like, in New York, there's more of a potential of, like, are they hipster or homeless? Because they could get confused. And then, like, in L.A., yeah, for sure, there's, like, different types of homeless. The downtown DTLA Skid Row homeless, oh, I run, keep doors locked, windows rolled up. You don't know if, like, a pile of shit's going to come flying. Like, you don't know.
Were you in LA during COVID? Because I heard that downtown LA during COVID was like so hard, like insane.
Yeah, because my friend lived here, right, and I would come visit her, and this was right before COVID started, and like we were both from New York, and so I was like, I could see myself living downtown. It's very like walkable. There were a lot of bars. It was very like, I was like, okay, for someone coming from New York, I could see this. And then I got here at the end of 2020, so, and she lived in a penthouse, paid a lot of money. And there would just be homeless people, just like, I won't wear flip-flops because it's like, you don't even know what, like, people, the first time I've ever seen a grown man shit in front of my face was in downtown. He literally squat in front, in the middle of the street and just took a big dump. And like, we're just driving in an Uber and I screamed because I had never seen But yeah, there was
screaming in the back of the Uber.
Yeah, it was. But yeah, there was a whole tent city just on her street, and we'd have to close the windows at night because people would just literally be screaming at the top of, like, not anything coherent, just yelling. And then they finally, I think a bulldozer finally came in and cleared out all those tents because I think, you know, when you're paying literally $4,000 a month, like.
No, straight up, that's how I feel. Okay, so I was describing this to everyone when I got back last year, and I was like, look, you know, like, I'm a compassionate person when I first touched sometimes. When I first got there, like, you know, and seeing it in my face and compared to Australia, I'm like, God, you know, I feel so bad for these people, etc. And then honestly, like, after a week, like, I started getting frustrated because I'm like, damn, like, I'm hustling, like, I've got, you know, jobs, like, several, like, I'm out here, like, grinding and, like, doing things, and I'm trying to pay to eat at, like, a nice spot or whatever. It's like, I don't want to see this. Like, I don't want to have to cross the street to not have, you know, someone thrashing around near me. And I don't want to step over someone that's, like, passed out on the sidewalk. Like, I'm sorry. Like, not in a nice neighborhood. Like,
no.
No. Like, I don't want to deal with that. I'm sorry. Someone asked a question. They want to know the best places to eat in LA. So, like, what are some of your fave spots since you've got there? How long have you been in LA for, by the way? Like, is it 3 years?
Since, like, the end of 2020, yeah.
Okay, yep.
So, I really... And it changes, but I will say I've had some of the best meals I've ever had in LA. There's this place called Bovel, and it's sort of like, it just has some of like the best like dips and like Middle Eastern type food. And it's part of a group, and they have a couple restaurants. I forget names because there's another restaurant. It's like right by the Scientology, the Celebrity Center. It's literally across the street, and I can't remember the name. I saw the Imagine Dragons guy. He was sitting next to us. I'll think
that's
that
so
name.
Fun. I love that about LA is like the celeb spotting. Like, even though it's kind of like tacky, it's just so like when I got there the first time, like within like a day or two, like I saw Adam Lambert at Runyon. I was just like, oh my God. And like, I messaged my friends back in Australia. I walked past Adam Lambert, who he's actually really popular in Australia because Queen is huge in Australia and he does all of the Queen tours.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's always fun to like spot a celeb out in the wild.
And then it's like, I just like, I like to find new places. Like there's this place, Matu, it's a steakhouse that it came up as a viral thing because they're a steakhouse, but they have this cheesesteak that's made out of Wagyu. And it's like with this Cooper Sharp cheese, which is like this like special cheese. And literally like you go there, I've gone twice. You just go there for lunch and you just order the steak and cheese. And you just sit at the bar and eat it. And literally it's like, there's 12 people at the bar because it's like first come, first serve. And you're all just eating. And it's like, just little things like that, like special little spots. And nothing's in a cute spot, you know, spot. You might be in a strip mall, you might be whatever, but it's still, you know, I've just had some really good meals here.
Yeah, I feel like, obviously, I'm no expert. I've had like 1 month in LA and like 2 weeks in New York. So take it with a grain of salt, guys. But from my very minor experience, I kind of feel like with New York, you can kind of just like walk around a block and you can just stumble onto stuff. And then I feel like in LA, the food and stuff is better from what I've experienced, but you got to know where to go. Like you've kind of got to know like, all right, that's the spot. And then it's amazing. And actually you'll have more space in an LA restaurant. Like anywhere that I've eaten out here, you're really like crammed in, like even at a nice place, like people are kind of like packed in a bit. Whereas I feel like in LA, it's a little more, you know, you can have a little bit more privacy, a little bit more room. Like it's just better overall.
Yeah. Like there's this place called The Girl and the Goat. It's in the Arts District, which is like my favorite. I will say like separate from downtown, Arts District is my favorite place. It's close to downtown, but it's like nicer. It's like they're putting restaurants there. And Girl and the Goat. And it's just like, yeah, it's like a big old restaurant that I'm used to. Whereas I know in New York, cause I feel like she does have restaurants in New York, or maybe I just feel like it would just be this tiny little place. But, yeah, but I do. That's the mindset you have to change when you've been in New York for so long. I miss the meandering because, yeah, you just stumble across, especially like on a snowy day. You're like, oh, I just want to stumble into my local pub or whatever. And you can't do that. LA is very targeted. You're like, I'm going here for this specific thing. You know what? Another place I do love to go, and it's so just classic LA, is Craig's. And it's like, I only know about it because it's a place where you go if you want to get photographed by paparazzi. But the food is actually really good.
Yeah, well, I went to the Ivy when I was there last time. Heather McDonald took me there and she was like, oh, I thought it'd be fun for you because like you're out of town, you know, like it's like a gimmicky, like the Ivy, it's like a Craig's. And the food was really fucking good. And it was like nice and like it was fun and it was like fun people watching. And I didn't see anyone famous, but I was kind of like gawking and like you'd see people that I'm like, they were acting like they were famous, but they weren't. But that's like fun to see as well. Like, the
oh, yeah. Like, every time I go to Craig's, I always get an Uber Black SUV. And literally, one time I got a paparazzi who took my photograph. But I think it was only because I realized later there was a rapper in there. And I think they thought we were with because they were like, oh, black girls, let's take the picture.
I love seeing the like. Yeah, I like the people watching for sure more in LA, I will say, because I feel like New York, I think I thought the New York people would be like a little quirkier and stuff, but I feel like there's more weirdos in California. And I also like the clusters of like the Instagram models and stuff. Like, I just think it's fun, like the influencer girls and everything that'll sort of like, you know, sugar babies and stuff. It's more like hookers. The places that I like to eat, again, I'm no expert. Someone's going to leave a review like, oh my God, he went there once and he's like giving restaurant recommendations. Go back to Australia. I really liked this place in Studio City called The Front Yard, and I went there twice. My friend who's a producer recommended it to me. Although I will say, some of my listeners actually from Australia went to LA and they wanted recommendations. And I said, go to The Front Yard. Like, you have to go there. It's like, great. And then they sent me a picture from there and I realized they had gone during lunch, not during dinner. And like, it looked kind of basic during the lunch. Cause sometimes at night, like you need like the tea lights and everything, you know what I mean? Like the whole, and I was like, oh, I hope I didn't send them cause it's kind of out of the way, Studio City.
Yeah.
So I kind of felt bad, but dinner there was amazing. I went to this other place. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's called like Yasabel or Isabel.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Y-S. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was really nice. And
yeah. That I've been wanting to go there, but everyone loves it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, and it had like, it felt like I was at like a fancy LA dinner going there. So that was definitely like in the vibe of it. Like, ooh, okay. There was this janky coffee shop that I was going to like every fucking day when I was there last year called Bohemia on Sunset. And it kind of looks like the Twin Peaks Red Room, and there's nothing else to get there really except coffee. But I love that. And also, you know, I love my Bristol Farms.
Yeah.
Obsessed. Definitely ready to become a Bristol Farms influencer. I've influenced so many people to get those cookies. I can't even tell
you. Well, I'm going to go with you because I was like, I've never been inside of Bristol Farms.
Oh my God. Okay. We're going together and we're going to like film it for Instagram for real. Like, and you're going to have the cookie. Have you ever had the cookie?
I've never had anything from there. I've never been there.
Okay. You're getting the cookie. They also do have some good grab and go meals, like just like rice, and they'll have like rice and shrimp or like rice and teriyaki chicken or whatever that you can just like grab and take home. And like, those are good. What do you think in New York of the halal food carts? Cause I did eat from them like a few times.
Oh, I mean, I love them. And I worked uptown and I would work late when I was there. And so that would be like the only thing that was usually open and quick. And, you know, I was like broke when I lived in New York. I was never really making a whole ton of money until right before I left. So yeah, I ate them all the time. I love food carts in general, because I also love the coffee from food carts. And then like, if you go like really early in the morning, like you can get the fresh donut with the coffee. It's like, it's delicious.
Yeah. I think I need to get into the food carts, because this is the first time I've eaten from the food carts was the halal food carts here, and it is really good. Although then I looked it up on Reddit, and apparently they're like so unhealthy. I thought they were really healthy, because I'm like, oh, it's just rice and chicken. What's the big deal? And then I looked up on Reddit, and apparently it's like one of the most unhealthy things that you can actually.
Really?
Yes, because they said.
Why?
They said it's. Like, it's all of the rice and everything is, like, deep fried in, like, so much fat, apparently, which is why it tastes so amazing. And apparently, you know, the white sauce they put on?
Yeah.
They said the white sauce is, like, the calories are, like, through the fucking roof. and I was like, damn, because you got to have the white sauce on there. Like,
you got that. It. It's delicious. Well, I will say this. LA, like, food cart is, like, culture here. So, it's, like, the opportunity to just have, like, all types of food. I think there's way more food carts here and like actual high-end cuisine.
Oh, yeah. Are you still doing the Bagel Fridays? Because I saw you posting about it.
Yeah, you know, I don't do it as much because I feel like I've really explored every bagel in LA. I mean, I found the best bagel because, I mean, I did this for a year. There's only, you know, and of course, there's spots that open up. There's a few spots I haven't tried. And I know people really like it. But I keep wanting to move on to, like, pizza or ramen or something. It's just hard to transition because people just are like, but I like bagels. And I'm just like, I know. So,
but I like bagels. Ramen's good. Yeah, you could switch to I love ramen. I'm going to do Bristol Farms Fridays. What am I buying from Bristol Farms today? How long were you in New York, by the way? Did you grow up there?
No, I mean, I grew up like right outside of DC. So it was like I spent basically like half my life in DC and then half my life in New York. But I feel like most of my adult life was in New York. So that's why it feels like home, because it's like that's where you really explore the first time you fall in love, all of these things, right? Just New York.
Yeah.
Feels like home. But obviously when I go see my parents, it's like at my hometown.
Okay. That was like me. So I grew up in a small town and then I moved to Sydney at 16. And then I had like, yeah, I had more than half my life or about half my life in Sydney. And now we're having the next chapter in the United States. Did you come to LA just to do the whole influencer thing? Like when you blew up on TikTok, is that why you came to LA?
Absolutely the opposite. Oh. I like never thought that this is what I would be doing.
Oh, like, wait, I thought you literally like maybe got the following in New York and you're like, I'm going to LA to like make it.
No, that's like, I went to school for communication. So like I did study communications and like literally it's just funny because, you know, I wanted to be Oprah. And like, I remember, it's like so funny because I remember running into Wendy Williams, like she would be at parties where I'm just like a little like nobody 20 something that like, and I would see her and I'd be like, I hate her. But it was like only because I was jealous because she had my career. And I was just like, as I was watching that, you know, I love her now, you know, and I remember thinking like, God, I can't believe I used to hate her so much because I was such a hater. But no, like I had sort of like, when you're in this industry, I was in radio and radio was just as tough. And it's like, everyone gets laid off or you get fired or, you know, shows get canceled. And so it just kept happening. And I just was like, it takes a toll on you. You start getting depressed, feeling like, am I a loser? Cause it's just like, why can't I do this? And so I got like a straight edge job. I was literally like working in accounting. Like it was like, I was just like, miserable life, gaining weight, you know, getting fat, being in a terrible relationship, you know, like all of those things. And so that took up, you know, so much of my brain space. And then I was like, what am I doing? And that is why, aside from the deaths, lockdown and COVID was the greatest thing that happened to me. And I know that sounds... No, I'm saying it's like, because it sounds so fucked up to say when you're like, lockdown was the best time for me. And I don't, like, I sort of get nostalgic for it because there's just this like nobody in the world, there's nothing you can do. My, you know, I can't work. I've lost my company. Like, I am destitute. I can't pay my bills. And so turn to TikTok, because everyone's turning to TikTok, and just occupy your time with that, because you find friends on TikTok. And I will say that I do think that it helped that I was a Black woman, because I do think in 2020, the algorithm was really ready to push my content. You know,
were you giving like BLM, like, were you giving like, we've got to get out on the streets, people? And
I'm going to, when does this episode come out? Because I'm going to delete all my old videos before this comes out, because like, I legit like will see some of the videos I was making in 2020 and I cringe. I'm just like, allies, it's time to go to war. It's a revolution. Like, I don't.
You were on your Bronwyn shit.
So I'm going to go delute those tonight. I know what I'll be doing the rest of the night.
I felt like that when I was like, got into Bernie and everything. And you're like, yeah, like, you know, we're going to change. And then, you know, it's fast forwards a few years and you're just like, wow, this is all just bullshit. Like,
yeah, nobody cares about me. I can only look out for myself. Like, it's like, I don't care.
Yeah, I just want to make some fucking money, bitch. Like, that's it.
Yeah, because clearly it's been shown is like, get rich and fuck everybody else, because that's what everybody else is doing.
Pretty much. Like, that's kind of the secret. It's just like, girl, just find a man and make some money. And like, no, you don't have to find a man. I'm trying to find a man. But yeah, because none of this other shit's going to work out. So yeah, you do. I mean, I know what you do for a living because we're friends, but when people know that I'm friends with you, like, some people will say to me like, oh, you know, like, what does she do for a living? And I'm like, she's an influencer. And they're like, wait, she gets paid for that? And I'm like, yeah. So can you kind of tell people like what you do? Because I think people don't get it. I think people just see you posting on like TikTok and they don't, and, you know, Instagram reels and everything, and they don't really get the bigger picture of it all.
Yeah, because it doesn't really translate. And like, I was actually thinking the other day, I was like, I kind of want to do a masterclass, because to get to this place, again, you have to be willing to put in so many man hours of not getting paid for it. And I just think that people don't understand that. And that's why lockdown was great, because it didn't matter. Everybody was broke. I wasn't making money anyway. So I was able to put in nothing but the hours. And so I built a following. So great. You think, and then it's funny because you think the first time you hit 100,000 followers, you're like, I've made it. I'm going to be the biggest thing ever. Wrong. It is. Can I tell you how wrong that is? There's nothing. Nothing happened at 100,000 followers. I didn't get not narrow brand deal. I didn't make anything. And look, and I think that I will say, I also think that had something to do with the fact that like someone who looks like me, people who were behind the scenes making the decisions on who has brand deals isn't used to someone like me, right? They're going to go with the typical thing. So that's why it also took a long time for me to sort of like, but also why I was able to pick companies that I wanted to work with, because I would reach out and be like, look, I can do this. But yeah, but it was a lot of...
I think also, sorry to interrupt you, if you aren't the typical influencer that they go for, you just have to find the market, because then there's a market for everyone. So once you find that, then that you can actually probably make more money than the typical influencer, because then you can do something more unique.
Exactly. And I think I started doing things like, I'm just saying, I started making certain types of videos that I didn't see before I started making them. And now I see them all the time. And so I do think that I was influencing other brands and how they could like market their shows or talk about, I mean, people like, their podcasts or those sorts of things. So when they started stealing those ideas, that's what in my head it feels like, stealing those ideas. Then they're like, oh, well, we can use you to do that thing because you're really good at it. And I was like, yeah. So then it's like people will come to you because, yeah, there's a show that's coming out and they want you to talk about it. So you get paid to make a video to do that. Or eventually what I got paid to do was do red carpet work because, you know, you have an audience and we want to plug it. And so you come to the red carpet, you do the interviews, and then you can have it on your, you know, and so those are the little things that you get paid for. Obviously, I partner with Weight Watchers, but I was already talking about, you know, the Wegovy journey, but that worked with them. So then I got, you know, so it's things like that. The more you talk about yourself and just become yourself online, people can kind of use that for their own purposes.
And I will say, and I'm not just saying this because we're friends and I'm trying to like hype you up, but your collaborations are very organic, because I see you get, like, when you said with the Weight Watchers and the Wegovy and stuff, like, you already were, like, into that, and, like, we had conversations about it, and you were like, fuck these people that are coming for Ozempic and all of that. And then, you know, you get naturally you fall into that, and, like, some of the shows that I've seen you promote and do stuff for, you were already, like, a super fan of. And then I think that also is more lucrative, because the brands, they really, really value authenticity now, because there are so many influencers and there's so many people that will just do, like, anything for a fucking buck. So, like, yeah, you want to get people that are authentic.
Yeah, I saw people commenting, like, I hate how she'll post about something and then I never see her talk about it again. Like, why would I buy it? It doesn't sound like she really uses it. And it's, like, so true. It's just like, they're like, got that check. Okay, on to the next.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, even with me doing the cookies, not that I'm an influencer, but I kept going on about the cookies and, like, I'd always bring them up just because I'm a fan. And then, like, it translates and people start going to get it because they're like, damn, he really likes these cookies. Okay. And then, you know, now people go and get the cookies and they, like, tag me. And also, I know you do, like, you do podcasts. You've got a podcast with Betches, Pop Crime. You're on Radio Andy with Reality Checked. Is Reality Checked, that also has, like, Dorinda and stuff too, right?
Yeah, they revamped. And so now we have three hosts, and essentially we each kind of get one day. Occasionally we get 2 days. But yeah. And so there I get to talk about all my reality stuff, though, which is good. And then Pop Crime, I get to talk about, you know, the stuff that I was doing a lot of on social with the pop culture and the true crime. So it's, I mean, I'm living my dream, but I'm still not Jeff Bezos rich, so I'm just trying to figure out how to, like, do the both.
No, I mean, I'm in the same boat. Like, I'm, like, getting there. Like, I feel like moving over here was a next step, and people know that I've been trying to get this TV show off the ground. I don't know what's going to happen with that, but then I'm also still doing stuff with the podcast. Like, I have, you know, guest spots on things that I'm doing, and then I got some good news about, I can't say it on air, but, like, I told you before, like, I got some good news with my job earlier. And, but it is like a constant, like, it's just constant sort of climbing to the next thing, you know, and like, mm-hmm. of like yeah. trying to get to that, like, next level. And, you know, it's a weird industry too, because I feel like kind of what makes the sort of media and, like, creator space differently is that at all times you can see everything that everyone else is doing. So it's like a big high school, and everyone has their cliques, and there's, like, popular kids, and then there's, like, outsiders, and, you know, you can see people getting certain things, and you're like, I do it to myself all the time. I'm like, why aren't I on that? Like, why are they booked on that podcast and not me? And I feel like everyone that I meet that is in this space is kind of the same. Like, we all have this sort of, like, I don't want to say insecurity. I don't know if it's that, but there's definitely a competitiveness that can't be helped just because you're just constantly seeing everybody doing shit all the time, you know?
Oh, 100%. And I talk about this with other creators. It's, like, super hard because you're just like, why not me? And you're like, stop being greedy. But then, like, the dark side of it gets really dark. And I try to stay out of it. It's why I don't go on Reddit. I try to stay out of the dark side. But, like, every once in a while, like, something will happen and I'll be like, what in the world? Like, there's this girl, I don't know if I should name her. There's this girl who, she's big on TikTok. And I didn't really know her before, but then she would start popping up in my FYP or whatever. And then I remember someone, like, trying to send me a video, and I was like, I don't know. I can't see it. Like, I don't know. Who is this? And she told me the name. And then I tried to go to her page and I realized, like, I'm blocked, which is weird because I didn't even follow the girl. And I was thinking, what would make her block me? You know, like, other than, like, I know that people used to tag her a lot in my videos because I would have something that was, like, before her, and maybe it annoyed her. I don't fucking know. But it's weird like that when you think there's people out here that hate you and you don't even know why.
That happens to me all the time, especially on Twitter/X. Although I know the answer. It's like, oh, they think I'm racist because of, like, whatever I've said about, like, you know, the how, like, Garcelle or something. It's like, okay, yeah, I'm the racist. Like, it's usually falls into that, so that's, like, usually the answer for it. I'm just like, whatever, like, it's just some woke person that, like, I don't need a fault. Like, please, more people should block me, actually. I don't want you seeing my shit or what I'm doing. Okay, you do have the show Pop Crime, and you are good at, like, the legal stuff. I don't want to go, like, so deep into it, but these Bravo lawsuits, I just want to get, like, blanket statement, do you think Brandy, Raquel, and Leah, do you think there's a valid case in there? Not in terms of, like, do you personally agree with what's in their lawsuits, but do you think there's, do you think some of them are going to get some money out of Bravo?
As somebody who understands employment law, because at the end of the day, Leah's case is purely an employment lawsuit. Do I think that there will be a settlement? Yes, because especially in New York, they very much usually lean on the side of the employee, mostly because anytime you can find an employer guilty of anything, you can usually get them to also pay extra, like, taxes and, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're like all of these random reasons that they tend to side with the employee. And the fact that she kept throwing in disability and hostile work environment. You know, we know the buzzwords that get, you know, people going. Now, based on the comment section, she might want to ask for a judge to make that ruling, because I don't know if a jury is going to see it her way. Not that I ever think that this will even see a courtroom. I honestly don't. I think it will, because I think that she's bound by arbitration. I think that these contracts are so binding. I think that's part of why Nene's case got, you know, kicked out, is because you're forced into arbitration.
Yeah, and isn't part of this, because I'm not good with the legal stuff and it also bores me and I don't care, but if they continue moving forward, do they get a discovery thing where then Bravo and producers have to, like, hand over text messages and stuff? Like, does Bravo need to, like, settle with them before they get to that stage? Is that to keep shit secret?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know all the stages, but it's like, you know, there's the complaint that's been happening. Now you're going to wait for the response, right, from there. And maybe it won't even be a response, because they've been, or maybe the response will be, this is going to go to arbitration. I think there's so much stuff that happens before we even get to that discovery level.
Yeah, I think Nene's lawsuit was completely bogus, her racial discrimination one. But I also kind of think that because they rolled over for that and they clearly paid her some amount of money to go
away.
You think
they did?
Yes, I definitely think they paid her some money, but they were like, we are washing our hands of you. Like, that's why, you know, Andy won't mention her name or anything. Mm-hmm. I think they definitely paid her off something quietly. And now I think it almost opened the door for everyone to go, well, I have a lawsuit too. You're like, I have a lawsuit too. And yeah.
The only reason I feel like she didn't is because I feel like, and maybe I'm mistaken, I feel like her case was dismissed without prejudice, which would mean she could file again. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was with prejudice, but I thought it was without prejudice. And if she has the opportunity to file again, that makes me think that there was no settlement.
Oh, okay. I need to look into that. I mean, I would love it if there's no settlement, because I think that was such a BS case. And I think she was so horrible, Nene. And yeah. And I mean, the flip flopping that she was doing of like, well, they're racist, but I want to come back. And, you know, like Kim Zolciak's but then appearing with Kim Zolciak at things, it's like,
it's hard because I get being in an abusive relationship. I'm not saying she was in an abusive relationship, but I get the feeling of being in an abusive relationship and doing things even though it's against what you're saying.
Yeah.
So there is that aspect of it. But yeah, I mean, part of Leah's lawsuit is like, they weren't hiring me for Ragoot, but they weren't doing these things. And it's like, well do you want to be there or do you not? I don't know if you, it sounds like you want to be hired and you're mad you're not hired. But then when you're hired, you're mad that they're not providing you pork-free dinners. I don't know. Like,
yeah, I mean, these things are complicated. Like when you said about an abusive relationship, I mean, anyone that's been employed anywhere, like we've all had bad jobs before and we've all had to keep the job and play along because we have to like put food on the table or it's like too much money to turn down or whatever, and but maybe you're still not being treated right, or there's things that bosses are doing and people go, well, why don't you just complain? It's like, no, you don't get it. If I complain, then either there'll be retaliation or my boss is going to be like passive aggressive and, you know, start isolating me or, you know, whatever. So there's a lot of that. Andy, I think you texted me about this. Has Andy got a crisis manager or something now? Can you give me the tea on this?
The story came out that he had gotten a crisis PR team Then it was like there was a response from a source that said, no, he hasn't, you know, paid a retainer. It's just talking to friends, as in your friends happen to be crisis PR. So I don't know why the spin there, other than he wants the advice, but he doesn't want to seem like he's not getting it. But I'm sorry, I would more respect you for retaining a crisis, because this is a crisis. As yeah. Bethany would say, this is a crisis.
He would definitely have a crisis PR person now, like, because you don't know how much stuff's going to come out. I mean, I think the thing with Andy is he's got to have fucked so many guys from behind the bar on Watch What Happens Live. So I just am like, I don't know, are the gays going to come out? Like, even though they would have, they've clearly willingly gone back with Andy, but now suddenly they're going to be like, well, I felt pressured to go.
Look, I think there's so many more things that will come in the, I mean, look, we know Ebony's lurking around somewhere waiting for her.
I'm surprised Bronwyn hasn't done it yet, because Bronwyn will, like, she's such a manipulative, I mean, I know you kind of like Bronwyn, I think, because you guys are cool on IG. I don't know. I'm surprised Bronwyn has not done a lawsuit.
She's been commenting on a lot of the women, though. So that also does raise some, like, sort of like, oh, I mean, the fact that she's commenting.
Yeah. Oh, how good was Jenna Lyons liking Leah's post, apparently, and then unliking it? Yeah, she's definitely not coming back. But look, I like Andy. I'm an Andy defender in general. So shout out Andy. Someone sent in a message and they said that Rachel/Raquel joined your IG live. Is this true?
Yes. It was so random, because I was like, when the lawsuit came out, you know, I was like, let's read the complaint, you know, let's go live and read the whole thing. And normally when I'm reading these things, I'm just sort of like looking down at my laptop. I don't really look at the comments because I don't have time to do both or whatever. But I just happened to glance up at this exact moment that Rachel goes like, hi.
Oh, and my, like, we
and
get?
I was like, I was like, oh, hi, Rachel. I said, welcome to the live. We are just reading your complaint. Obviously, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to come on, feel free to request. I'll bring you on. Otherwise, we're going to keep on reading this complaint. And then I checked the request. She didn't. And so I kept reading. I read through the whole thing. You know, I chimed in every once in a while when I was like, oh, I agree. I don't disagree. And then people were kind of like, Rachel, we want to hear from you. And I was like, well, I don't know if she's here. And they're like, she's still here. Because, like, they can see. Oh, okay.
Girl, I would have been shaking. I would have been, like, so thrown off. Like, girl, you're here and I'm, like, reading through your damn lawsuit right now.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, someone said that to me. They were like, God, she was like, you were so smooth with it. I didn't even realize. It was like, and I was like, I don't know. Like, what was I supposed to do? Be like, oh, no, I don't want. Like, I mean, we're reading the goddamn. You filed the complaint. Let's read it.
Well, honey, this is why they pay you the big bucks, to promote these shows and the Weight Watchers and everything. Smooth. Bethany is no longer talking about Bravo. Did you see that? She was yeah, hi, it's the problem. It's me. She was like, I think I have been a hypocrite and I felt bad about doing it. And my management didn't want me to talk about it, but I'm like, no, I'm doing it differently, but it's too toxic now. And it always was toxic, but now it's really a dumpster fire and I don't want to be a part of it. Do you think she'll be back talking about Bravo again? Or do you think this is it? I actually think it's it. I don't think she will go back.
I don't think, and she knows she doesn't need to. Like, she knows that right now, like, she has plenty of other things that people will follow her for, that she'll get paid for. She doesn't need to do this anymore. And I actually think she's exhausted from it.
Yeah. Well, I was, when she started the rewives thing, right, her whole thing was like, we're having, you know, A-list actresses to come on and, you know, examine housewives in a way that's never been done before. It's like, okay, it's a recap podcast with celebrities. Great, got it. Everyone's done one. But then she literally started doing just like, it would be like 10-minute mini episodes where she'd react to like Kyle and Mauricio's divorce and like who had a fight at the reunion. Like, it was literally just like fucking Bravo hot takes. And it was like, this is so embarrassing. But one thing about Bethany, and this is why she is a smart businesswoman, like, she knows when to swerve and she knows when to sort of lean into something and when to lean out. And when she did do the rewives thing, like, it did work. It put her back in the conversation. It put her back in the news cycle, even though she got a lot of shit for it and people thought she was a hypocrite. Like, the podcast did well for a period of time, and now it's time to bounce. And I feel like with her kind of, you know, influencing career, that she's almost become kind of like what Megyn Kelly is. Like, if you go on the New York Post, like, every day it's like, Megyn Kelly slams, you know, migrants, or Meghan Markle. And like, Bethany's kind of like that in the news cycle now, where it's like, Bethany weighs in on Jennifer Aniston's split. And it's like just a story.
Bethany
that,
fighting with, you know, Travis Kelce's father.
Yes, exactly. Like, and now she's in that like Megyn Kelly tier of like, people are just going to write stories about you reacting to like news. So it's kind of like, she doesn't have to do Bravo because she can, again, just talk about Travis Kelce and still get the same headlines. So I was like, what am I doing Bravo for? So, you know, good for her, I guess. Good for you, Bethany. What else have I got here? Oh, my God.
We're mutuals, by the way, on TikTok. Did you know that?
Really?
I don't know why she followed me. Well, I know why she followed me. It was after I posted the first Reality Reckoning video where I was breaking down the whole letter that had been sent. And then she started following me. Even though, like, I think video before that, I was sort of, like, not making fun of her, but I was sort of, like, joking about something she had done. I don't know. So, we're still mutuals. It's really odd.
Have you ever slid in the DMs?
No.
Oh. Do you DM with many, like, Bravo celebrities?
No. You know, I was talking to my friend about this the other day. There's something about me, and I would love to, like, this is why I need, like, a team. Like, I'm a one-woman operation. I would love to know that, like, Bravo lebs don't tend, like, I know they're watching my videos, and it's maybe from a Finsta or maybe through their manager or whatever. They won't follow me. And it's like, and I see them following all the other, like, quote, Bravo accounts. I don't consider myself a Bravo account, yeah, but like, they'll follow. And then I was like, I realized, is it because, like, I'm not a sycophant? Is it because, like, I'm not going to just be your cheerleader? Is that why you're not following me? Like, because I might call you out one day? But, like, wouldn't you rather me be, like, more honest? I don't know.
Almost think it's actually because you aren't a Bravo account, and they're so obsessed with that Bravo, like, they're so in it, and there's such a, like, scene around it now with all of the meme accounts and the reactions, and it's like, I think they would rather follow, you know, I won't call anyone out of their name, but, like, they just want to follow the accounts that just do the reactions to Bravo news strictly. Like, you're just not doing enough of it for them to be like, they're like, I don't want to know about something going on in the news or whatever. I just want to know, like, what did Tamra Judge about say me? On 2Ts? Yeah. Like, that's all they're interested in. I am, I'm friendly with a few of them. And actually, now it's almost a little bit weird because I was in Australia and I became friends with them through, like, social media, through my podcast or whatever, we were able to kind of, like, have, you know, a fun online friendship with, you know, various housewives and stuff without the weirdness of me having to, like, write about them, you know, and report on them, because I mostly was covering Australian stuff in Australia. And, you know, I do most of my housewives content behind a paywall now. So if I've got to talk about them, they're not going to hear it because they're not on my Patreon. So it's been fine. And now, like, I'm here and, like, I'm actually meeting up with Leah tomorrow for coffee and we're friends, and I've been in the office while I haven't covered any stories on it. I'm staying out of it, you know, like, you know, you do your thing, girl. I'm staying out of it. You know, I like Leah, I like Andy, you know, I wish everyone the best in whatever the results, whatever the results of the lawsuit are, like, and yeah, I could hear people talking and working on the story, and like, I could have put my hand up in there and gone, well, you know, I'm friendly with Leah, or I'm friendly with this, you know, other housewives, and gone, I have a connection here. But then I'm also like, oh, then it's weird though, because then I've sort of established a friendship where we're not, like, talking about Bravo all the time. So it's like, hey, what's up? Like, what's going on? And then suddenly now I'm, like, using you for a story. You know what I mean? Like, trying to get something out of you. And it's, like, a bit weird.
It gets really awkward because, I mean, I do have, like, there are a couple, like, I think Ariana, she was following me. And so, like, when this Rachel story came out, it, like, it's awkward because I do have to report that, like, yeah, the lawsuit is really heavily weighted towards Ariana because she's the one that allegedly distributed. And it's awkward because I'm sure she doesn't want to see that shit in her feed, but.
Yeah, but, you know, you do report it fairly, like. You don't come on like super opinionated about it. You just try to do it as like a news thing. So it's hard for them to get mad. Like I pop off like all opinion on my shit, which is kind of why I'm very glad to put the housewife stuff behind the paywall. So if I'm friendly with the housewife, but I don't agree with something they're doing, like, you know, I don't have to like blast them publicly and I just have to hope that the patrons aren't snitches. What I am loving is Love is Blind. I've always been a Love is Blind super fan, like since season one. I think it's the best dating show out. And this new season has really kind of like taken over the zeitgeist. I definitely feel like it's the it reality show right now. Like it's the top one. Like this is the one that I'm seeing getting the most like memes and reactions, and it's just everywhere. It was on Jimmy Fallon. They did this lame thing where the Roots were like, I didn't think it was funny, but I was like, oh, it's on Jimmy Fallon now. Like, damn, like people are really going in on Love is Blind this season. It's definitely, I think, the best season since the first one. What are your thoughts on Jimmy and Chelsea? Because I'm in love with Jimmy. I think he's so hot and I'm actually rooting for them as a couple. And I kind of feel like they're together still.
Yeah, I mean, I will say my opinions have obviously wildly changed. Sometimes I hate that real life interferes with watching the show because it does sway your opinion, but I am trying to just like watch the show. And just through watching the show, I can say that my opinion of Jimmy has changed. And like, he like legit might have been the only one that was there looking for love. Like, and I didn't think that in the beginning. And Chelsea just needs to get a handle on herself. And if I have to see one more like video meme of her running, like I can't.
I feel so bad for her with the Megan Fox thing because it's like, I think some of it is editing because she said that he also said that he looked like this really hot like baseball player and they edited that out. So they only showed her doing the Megan Fox thing. And like, she does kind of look like Megan Fox. Like I can see how if you're
seen TikToks where she puts her. Yeah. I mean, like I've seen it.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, of course, you don't want to like. I don't think it's a good idea to compare yourself to like the hottest. Like, okay, you could be an attractive blonde. Say this is 1995. You're an attractive, busty blonde. Don't say I look like Pamela Anderson because you're probably hot, but you're probably not Pamela Anderson. So like,
you're just setting yourself up for disaster.
Yeah.
Like,
so maybe don't do that, girl. But I mean, I feel bad because like every interview she does, they're like that Megan Fox meme and she has to like react to it of like, yes, I'm aware now that I do not look as hot as Megan Fox. Like that's just got to be hard on someone. But you know, I'm rooting for them. I have to say that that Trevor guy, you know, the roid steroid junkie beefcake, I thought he was full of shit from the beginning. I never bought into the Trevor hype. And I was very glad when it came out that he had like a secret girlfriend and was just on the show for clout. Because my experience in Australia, Married at First Sight is the hugest show there. It's like a blockbuster and they air it in the UK and it has huge ratings and stuff there. And you know, the Australian industry is quite small and we work with all the contestants at Daily Mail Australia. So we always know the behind the scenes tea of like what's really going on and, you know, versus the edit. And it's so often is like the guys that are squeaky clean in the edit are just fucking party boy douchebags in real life. So, you know, a white knight edit on a show does not fool me. And just when they're too smooth and they just keep saying, you know, the right thing, like it's just, I'm just not going to buy it unless you're Cameron and Lauren from season one. That I was very into. I was like crying, like watching
well,
them.
Yeah. They're like the only couple. Well, and Amber and what's his
name? Oh yeah. I love them like too. Love. I mean, I cry on Love is Blind like every season. Even this
Do
season.
You?
Yes. Like when I'm watching it, like when all the couples are in love, I was crying over AD and Matthew before he got outed as like a freak.
Is he a freak?
Yes. No, you know, Matthew, the one that was like the autistic Superman.
Yeah,
because he was like a player and everything. Like, but when it looked like they had a thing going together, I was like, yes.
I wanted them to be a thing, but.
What do you think of Clay? Do you think Clay is like phony baloney, or is he just one of these sort of like American guys that just talks like a motivational speaker, but maybe he's.
The harsh reality, and I feel like nobody will say this, is I don't think that Clay was attracted to AD. Ooh. I don't even think he's ever dated a dark-skinned woman in his life. I'm not saying I know this. I'm just saying these are the feelings I got. And I think that when AD saw him, I think she sensed that there might be like less of an attraction, which is why she started really showing off her body. Because I think that once he could get, like, guys can always like just kind of like, ooh, you know, butt a face, right? I'm not saying she's a butt a face. What I'm saying is if in his mind he can look past that. And so I think that's why she really started like flaunting the body. And I don't know, just the fact that literally, like, they'll be talking about nothing. Like, I just don't want to cheat. I don't understand why you're constantly bringing up you don't want to cheat. Stop. Then don't cheat. Just what are you talking about?
I know. It's so bad. Like, every fucking scene. I just don't know if I can commit to. I'm also like, then don't come on Love Is Fucking Blind. Like, go on a more casual show. Like, this is the show to come on and get fucking married. Like, this isn't like we're just having a good time.
I know, but like you said, it's the show of the moment. And when Natalie and what's her face, the chick, I mean, to me, yeah, like they had a podcast. I couldn't think of two more boring people that I would never want to listen to on a podcast. But I think the clip came out of how, like, she said she was making three times she was in her career. And somebody, like, went back and, like, looked up what the average career salary for her was. And it was, like, $200,000. So it's, like, they're, like, she must be making, like, $750,000. Anyways, that is why. It's, like, you can literally change your entire life and become an influencer and make $500,000 a year doing nothing.
Yeah, I think the secret to Love Is Blind, and actually one reason that as much as they've had clout chasers on there and people that are in fake relationships, etc., if you look at the ratio of marriages and stuff compared to other shows, like, it's pretty fucking strong, like, to have as many marriages come out of it. Like, I think every season almost has had at least like one married couple that's still together, which if you compare it to something like The Bachelor or whatever, or like Love Island, is huge. And I think that I think it's a very conservative show, and I think they get a lot of, like, especially this season, like, they had a lot of like Christian, I think they actually get a lot of Christians on Love Is Blind. And I think that they get a lot of people that do have traditional values on there. A lot of God fearing, you know, people, and they go to these smaller areas. Like, they're not casting in LA every season. Like, this one is Charlotte. They've done, I can't even remember.
Like Houston. They've done
And
I love that they're doing that, because, yeah, they're like, you're not going to get anyone in LA. You're going to get a bunch of like people who want to be on a show. And so they
everyone
know
will
that
be Clay.
Like. Yeah. And so it's like, well, speaking of Christians, I'm so curious. Do you believe the rumors about Kenneth? I know Kenneth's cousin came out and said he's gay. Like, he's my cousin. I know.
No.
And do you think? Oh, you haven't heard this?
No. Wait, can you just recap the rumor? Because I had not heard this.
So Kenneth, like, people were wondering, like, why was he, they started saying, like, we think he might be gay. And then one of his cousins had posted on Facebook, this was a while ago, he had won some award, because he's a teacher, a principal, you know, he'd won some award.
A 25-year-old school principal.
Yeah. And it was like, you know, and she was like, go cousin, proud of you, you know, reposting this award he won. And that was like a while ago. Then someone recently, once Kenneth was on the show, like, saw the post and was like, oh, is Kenneth your cousin? Like, and then I can't remember why, but she posted like, yeah, he's, and she put the pride flag. She's like, I'm his cousin. She, you know, she's like, he's gay. He's like, yeah, I'm his cousin. He is not confirmed nor deny this. But now, of course, people are pulling videos because he was on some other, like, not a reality show, but he was on some show doing something. And he, you know, it was like, oh, there's a little. And
looking so a little fruity on there.
Yeah. And so I was like, do you think that he was using the Christian thing as a way? He was like, I'm going to find the most Christian woman in here and be like, you're not looking to have sex, right?
That is a really interesting theory, actually. And the fact that he was so God-fearing, he could be I mean, like our boy, God, what's his name? The one I'm obsessed with from The Bachelor, the fucking gay guy from The Bachelor, Colton. Yeah, who I love. What's his surname? Girl, but that's Colton. You know Colton, right?
I didn't watch, but I heard about, you know, I saw the.
Yeah, and he did the stupid, he did the reality show. Girl, wait, I need to Google this now, actually, because I'm obsessed with him. And suddenly, Colton Underwood, duh, of course. I've dreamed about Colton Underwood many, many nights. That's what Colton did. He went on The Bachelor, and he was trying to fight it. And he was also a bit thirsty. He wanted to be on TV, and Kenneth had been on TV before. So there's that part of you that wants that spotlight. Maybe Kenneth wants to be, you know, a televangelist or something. I don't know. Yeah, that's interesting, because I thought what their issue was, from the edit, I thought it was that Brittany, you know, I thought she just wasn't attracted to him.
I didn't think she would be, but what I saw was someone who was really trying to at least like make an effort. And that's sort of the giveaway, because it was almost like, I'm going to find a woman who doesn't want to have sex. But what he didn't calculate for was, I still want attention and affection. And so she's like, can we touch? Can we do that? I want you to crave me. And he was just like, And so it's like they have that breakup scene, which was so awkward. He's just like, I just want you to, oh, it sounds like you don't crave me. Okay, we should break up. Bye.
Yeah, I'm going to go to my friend's house. And then she's like,
his friend.
Yeah.
His friend.
How you doing? My favorite thing about her was that she would say, you identify as a black man. I identify as a white woman. Like, he's not Rachel Dolezal. Like, he is a black man. He does not identify as one. I loved them, though, actually. Before it all went to shit, when they were connecting in the pods, I was crying over them. I was like, I want to watch, like, a Christian reality show with these two.
I really want, like, they were the ones that I thought I could be like, okay, this will show me Love is Blind. Because if the two of them can, like, because you just would never expect them, but they did seem to have this genuine connection. And I really did think that their love of God would just, like, really bring them together.
I know. I was ready to, like, convert. I'm like, take me to church. But there was I think the whole series is actually very conservative coded out of all dating shows, but this one especially, there was a lot of like God and Jesus connections. There was even Sarah Ann. I'm a patriot. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I was living for, yes, Sarah Ann.
She's all over TikTok right now. It's crazy.
I feel so bad for her. I totally agreed with her on that last episode when she was popping off about, like, I have every right to message Jeremy and explore this. And I'm like, you do, girl. Like, they're not married yet.
I was on her
yet.
Side, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was on her side.
Yeah, you, like, girl, shoot your shot. Like, no one's married yet. Like, we're still in the experiment. Go for it. So I hope her and, I mean, I think she could do better than Jeremy. But, you know, I'm wishing them the best. I have actually started watching Love is Blind Sweden. In between, you know, waiting for the new drop of Love is Blind. Okay. It's really good. So
okay.
I highly recommend it. One, this is juicy about it, but it's also unfair. You know how like Love is Blind gets a lot of criticism because people go, they're all attractive. Like, this doesn't show that love's really blind. Now I get why they do that, because on the Swedish one, they have a little more disparity in the looks department, and it just sets people up to fail, because there's this one guy, he's pretty good looking, and he's got paired with this woman. She does have a great personality, but she looks like 20 years older than she actually is. Like, she, you know, in her early 30s, but it's like, she looks like 45 and she has really bad teeth. And like, she's just not a looker, and it's sad because she does have a great personality. Like, she's awesome, but you can just see why, you know, guys are more superficial than women are. And, and she's really horny too. And she just wants to fuck him all the time. And he's like, we just need to build our connection. And so not attracted. And then they have the same in the opposite direction, where you have this girl that is like a stunner. I mean, she's like a 10, And she's got a good personality too. She's not like stuck up, but she's very beautiful. And she's got paired with this guy, and I think he's like Swedish Australian. He has a man bun like me, except it's dyed purple. And she's like, oh, you have like purple hair. And he's like, yeah, I bought some more hair dye if you want to like dye it with me. And he was being serious. He kind of has bad teeth too. And he's like extremely sunburned. So he's walking around with a purple man bun and the most sunburnt face you have. Like it literally looks like he's breaking out in hives. Like it looks so bad. And then he has this like weird bohemian style, and he's wearing like a pearl necklace, and yeah, I don't know where he got the pearl necklace thing from. And she's just like, she just looks like an Instagram hottie, and he's a total simp for her as well in a really unattractive way. And the audience are all on his side because they feel bad for him because they're framing her, you know, like, oh, what a superficial bitch she is. But it's like, no, dude, she's just like a 10 and she has standards and she doesn't want to be with a guy with a fucking purple man bun and wears a pearl necklace. Like, I'm sorry. So like, you know, it's fun to watch the mismatching, but I just think it's kind of unfair. I'm like, yeah, you need to, I get why the American one gets people that are all sort of similar levels of attractiveness. Yeah. And there's also this guy, I mean, you've got to, it's really good. Honestly, I recommend you watch it. There's this guy, this sleazy Spanish guy. He's not hot and he doesn't have a job. He is a DJ / like children's soccer coach, which is just means you have two hobby jobs. Like you don't have a career, and he's completely superficial, and he's with this stunning woman. She's a Christian. She's really beautiful. She has really great style. She has like a great personality, good everything. And when they're in the pods together, she's like opening up more and he's like been really into her, right? And then she tells this story of how when she was in high school, she had scoliosis and got bullied. And then as soon as he gets out of the pod, like he just goes to the guys, he's like, look, I don't know if I can be with her. And they're like, you know, why? And he's like, I know this sounds bad, but like she said she was like bullied and now I just like, I'm not attracted to her. And it's just like, he's such a douche. And yeah, and then they do end up together and he's just like, he's just horrible. And I think there's some pregnancy scandal on it as well. It's juicy. What? Yes, okay. It's juicy.
All right. I'll watch that one for sure.
Someone asked us about the Wendy Williams documentary. I know that you've already talked about this a lot. You know, anyone that watched this, it was on Lifetime. It was two parts. It was unbelievable that they captured this on camera. You know, Wendy Williams, the queen of talk shows, the queen of radio, the queen of New York, that we all fucking love, the queen of gifts, you know, the queen of one-liners, the queen of everything. And the fact they had cameras on her in this state, she's demented, she's drinking bottles of vodka in her room, she, like, doesn't know where she is, she's having, like, angry outbursts at people. It's just, she has these like grifters around her that are like using her, and then you kind of like, you don't really know who the bad guy is. And I'm just shocked that they got this on camera.
I will say, as I was watching it, I was like, I haven't seen this level of like, wow, I can't believe this is on camera since Being Bobby Brown was on Bravo. And even that, it wasn't outward, it was very like, if you know what's happening, the things, you're kind of like, ooh, that was really weird. But to see it just out in the open was crazy. And now for just, you know, her publicist to start backtracking, acting like this should have never been on camera. What, honey? Who approved this? You literally are the team that is managing her. You knew this, you know, you sat down for interviews. You heard the questions they were asking. If you didn't like the direction, you know, You know, I've heard stories about that publicist aside, and so...
Can you share any of them on the pod?
Probably not, but basically what I can say is this seems like her MO is like sort of sensationalism and trying to, it doesn't surprise me basically that she put Wendy in this position.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people like that in the industry. You know, I was sidetrack a little bit, but I was talking to my Patreon the other night and about who was it? Oh yeah, Porsche's man, Simon, who now he's in some fraudulent shit. And I was like, look, the fact is, if you meet people, especially that in front of the cameras or in any way in the entertainment industry, and they can't really clearly tell you what they do for a job, they're either a criminal or like a hooker. And like, I just feel like when you meet a woman and she looks like she's got, like, she's attractive and she looks like she's got some money, but she can't really tell you her job and she just says she does eyelashes or something, you're a sugar baby or a hooker. And if you find a guy that is saying vague things of like, oh, we, you know, crypto or investment or whatever, but he's got all this money, it's like, you're like a con artist or whatever, or you're like this publicist of Wendy Williams. Like, there's a lot of fucking crooks out here.
Oh yeah. So many crooks. And you know, you just reminded me now, because I think it was the last season of Love is Blind where I can't remember who was calling out that girl about being a hooker, because he was like, you can't even tell us what you do.
There was a girl on The Bachelor that they did that to as well. We heard she was a... But I'm like, I'm kind of glad they're acknowledging it, because, honey, a lot of these girls you're seeing on these reality shows and these, you know, Love Islands and stuff, they're...
Yeah, they have...
With this Wendy Williams thing, there's reports now saying that she's, like, doing a lot better. Do you believe that?
I believe that she is in the care of someone, and I do believe that now that all eyes are on her, they're going to be very much like attending and providing updates. And when her review comes up this year, it's going to be like Britney, and it's going to be, you know, all eyes on this hearing. Because now, look, I'm glad the documentary came out, because people, of course, are now digging into the judge that, you know, assigned this guardian. And they're saying, oh, she has been accused in the past of assigning guardians for people who donate to her campaign and all of this stuff. So bring it to light.
Yes, everything in the dark will come to the light, as Lil' Kim says. Someone wants to know what our take is on NeNe hosting the Baddies reunion. I think I've probably talked about this on Patreon before. I mean, I've been telling NeNe to go to Zeus for a while, like, because you're not coming back to, you know, you're not coming back to Bravo. And I'm a big proponent of being a big fish in a small pond. And I think, hey, if you can be the biggest star on Zeus, and I'm sure NeNe could get her own show on there. I don't know why she just doesn't rip off the, you know, the Baddies in the cabaret format, where it's like she's sort of the queen bee and then you just have, like, I don't know.
I think it was an ego thing. I think she looked down on it and it's like, girl, just please.
Well, did you see the clips of her hosting the reunion? Because she did not know who the fuck these girls were.
Well, yeah, I mean, I that would be me too. Because, yeah. I mean, it's like, I know who Baddies are, but I don't know who any of you are.
Yeah, she's sitting there and she's got like the ear monitor and she's like, next we're going to welcome Rolly. And you...
Well, she didn't even know Rolly.
Yeah.
At least I know Rolly.
Yeah. Well, I can never tell Rolly and Biggie apart, because they're kind of the same, but one of them just had like full-blown like Rolly. BBL. Was that Rolly? Yeah. She had like BBL, lipo, like the whole works. I don't know how she's going to be fighting like fresh from surgery, but I'm definitely convinced that those fights are fake now. I think you have to get, because I was trying to dive into this because, you know, I'm sort of fascinated by Zeus, and I think they have to kind of like say to the producer, like, yep, you know, I'm good. Like, she can swing at me. And then they give you like 5 to 10 seconds before they break it up. And that's just the formula of it.
I know, but Woe Vicky didn't seem to think.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, I mean, they just swung at her without getting permission. Poor Woe Vicky. Did she sue them?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if she didn't. Like, you know, I just.
She should. Yeah. They were. Yeah. I mean, lock Krishan's ass up. Is she in jail yet? Like, you.
No. So I've been following this, and like, you know, all it says, she had a court hearing on February 27th that I was going to go to. And then I ended up having to do so I couldn't. Yeah. You're going to be coming with me to some of these, but
I didn't go.
And I was kind of glad I did it because I had a feeling she just wouldn't show up or there would be some reason. Right. And I went and it was like there was no appearance, but I don't know if it was because they delayed it, but it said like warrant, but I couldn't tell if a warrant had been issued. So it's not very clear. They don't give you much information on these criminal dockets. Like, so I don't know, but it looks like the next hearing is until June, but that's for her civil hearing because she's being sued civilly and she's also being charged criminally.
Oh, okay. Double homicide.
Yeah.
Well, lock her ass up. Like, she's just straight up a menace, like, for real. Like, she's got a bit off the streets. Like, she's too damn much. Like, get rid of her. I would like Blueface to be free. You know, that's my man, Free My Baby Daddy, like the Sexy Red song. I want him out. I don't know what's happened to Jade and Alexis with Blueface locked up this long. I don't know how she's doing. I mean, I know he bought her a house, so, and she's living off the Barbie royalties. But, I've got so many topics, but we've gone so long. I was going to ask you about the Diddy scandal, but that's just too much to get into, but that's crazy. Okay. One question on the Diddy scandal is, are we looking at the Harvey Weinstein of the music industry?
You know, I think that there is a lot of fire because the smoke is like just too much. And do I believe every single allegation? No, but do I believe a lot of them? Yeah.
Audio Day
has been screaming forever.
I saw something that he has been doing this sort of the Epstein thing of like filming people and then blackmailing them and everything and like having, you know, money to the cop. Girl, it was a lot.
You don't settle for, you know, after that lawsuit came out, you just don't settle. I'm sorry. Like,
that was a lot that he gave Cassie. Well, I mean, that was definitely, we believe Cassie, but it's just,
yeah,
very interesting to see. I mean, I do think there is some stuff. I think people exaggerate how many people he's allegedly murdered, although there might be a few that he's legit done, but I do think people are adding a few too many bodies to that pile, but there's something going on. People did want us to talk about NT Lawyer, but I can't be bothered. Sorry, guys. That's just too, we've got too much. Okay. two more quick, easy questions to wrap it up. What is this Kate Middleton's like missing thing that's become a meme? And then everyone's saying that she's getting like a BBL and stuff. Do we know what's happened to Kate Middleton? So she's not been seen for like 2 months. Is that what's going on?
Yeah. And what it sounds like is I think that they said that she was going to have a procedure or something. I think something to do with a stomach surgery. And they said that she would be, you know, out of commission for 6 weeks. So I feel like they said that they announced it, but now people are just like, but where? And I'm just kind of like, well, but like, I think we knew she, look, if the girl, look, I know I've been talking about her looks. If the girl needed to get a nip and tuck, let the girl get a nip and tuck.
I think she's attractive. Are you not a...
No, I'm not saying she's not attractive.
Because you're a Meghan Markle fan. You've got to put down Princess Kate.
No, all I'm saying is when they do those close-ups on her face, I'm saying this as someone who plans to get nipped and tucked, is that when you are in the public-facing eye, you just start noticing things. I hate this part of LA. I get so distracted. I was like watching a movie the other day and I was like, God, she's got so many necklines. And I was like, stop it. She's a great actress. Leave her alone. And I'm like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah, I have to remind myself like with looks as well to be like, there's a different standard as well between celebrity looks and like real people looks. And like, you can't always compare yourself to that, but yeah, I don't know. It's a lot. But shout out Kate Middleton, whatever you've got going on. I don't think she's getting a BBL.
She's not getting a BBL.
that's what the streets are saying.
I mean, I love the memes, but yeah.
Okay, and Meghan Markle, coming back to podcasting, at your old company, Lemonada, do you have thoughts and predictions for Meghan Markle's new podcast? Because her last podcast was truly the worst to ever exist.
I don't have any thoughts. I probably won't listen, but I will say this. I've gotten caught up in the Netflix new wave of watching Suits because I know it came back and I never watched it before. And now I'm sucked in. I was literally watching it before we went on the
air. Really?
And I'm like obsessed. So it's kind of funny to watch Meghan Markle like every day now.
Are you a hater yet? Because I feel like you were holding out and I'm going, girl, she's another one of these grifters. Like, are you on board yet?
At the end of the day, she married my husband. I've been in love with Prince Harry forever. And the fact that he married a black girl, it just made me love him more. So it's very hard to ever hate her because she got to be like the first black princess. I can't hate on it. I'm sorry.
I mean, but then she messed it up. I mean, people used to joke before, like a couple years ago, they'll be like, she's going to end up on The Housewives. And now I'm like, she really might. Like, I could see her on Housewives of Beverly Hills. I don't think it would be, I think it would be like 10 years down the line. I don't think it would be like immediately, but I could see it at some point.
I think they're going back to England. I know nobody think. I think they're going back to England. And
no way.
That's
your prediction. Back to England.
I do. Mm-hmm.
No,
I just think that like Charles is not going to be on the throne long. I think whatever cancer he has is like probably not great. And I think that, you know, once William has to take over, I just think he's going to get real nostalgic. I think they're both, the brothers are just going to be like, we need each other.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that could actually, but I don't think Meghan would want to go back. They could split. She could stay in Hollywood, but then it's like, who has the kids?
She's not doing what she thought she was going to do here. I think she thought she was going to do some things, and now she's like, oh, it was so much nicer there.
I think her problem is that she could have done some things, but I think she gets so in her head, and I think she's so obsessed with how she's perceived and the fame of it all that I almost think she can't make a move. Because I think she just gets stuck in her own head and she's like, she doesn't know what the right move is. And then she ends up not making a move at all. Or it comes out overly curated, which was why it doesn't land, because it's not sincere enough, because she's trying so hard to be kind of the star, you know, the star pupil, the like, yeah, she's no authenticity. And I was, you know, I think I told you to read that book that you didn't want to read. I was like, girl, that revenge book, like, you'll see her in a different light. Like, get that audio
book. Which book was this?
Girl, the best book ever. It's called Revenge. And you've got to do the audio book. Don't read it because the audio book is so shady. And it really details her manipulations and her social climbing through Hollywood and then through like the royal family and everything. And like, you really see what a snake she is. I tell everyone to read it. It's so juicy. It's just got all the tea. Like, you will never be a fan of her after this book. And look, she's doing the Lemonada podcast. I think it will be more mainstream. I think, you know, she's not going to go full Bethany Frankel, but I do think she will be weighing in on more kind of like maybe some like pop culture-y stuff here and there. And I think she's trying to get back out there and do some things. And, you know, a lot of people do a podcast to be a stepping stone to try and get like a talk show or, you know, like something bigger from it. So I don't know. I think she wants to get back to work. I think she's probably enjoying Suits having, you know, a renaissance on Netflix. Maybe she could join the spinoff. They're doing a new spinoff, aren't they? Reviving it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she could do that. Bring her character.
I mean, she didn't even want to join them on stage at the...
Is she still snubbing them?
It sounded like, because like they all sort of reunited for, I don't know, was that the Emmys or was it one of the award shows? They all like presented something together. I don't know. I'm sure she had a reason, but.
Well, reasons I'm too good for. Okay. Yeah, maybe she, see, this girl has no sense. Like really, people would have loved her. If she came out with them at whatever this thing was, people would have been living for her. And now, especially because everyone's liking Suits. Yeah. She should do the fucking, girl, if you're listening, Meghan Markle, do the Suits spinoff and you'll be, oh my God, Suits just flashed because I've got Netflix paused. It just flashed up there. There she is. looks, she looks like she has quite a sexy role. That book actually has a lot of tea about her on Suits. Yeah, I'm telling you, you'll love that book. Like, once you start reading it, you won't be able to put it down, and then you'll be like, Jacques, I hate you, because now you've made me turn on Meghan Markle. Thank you so much for coming on. This was so much fun. Do you want to, like, plug your stuff before you bounce?
Yeah, I mean, I want you to subscribe to Pop Crime, and that's my podcast. And of course, if you have Sirius, I want you to listen to me on Radio Andy, Reality Checked.
Yes, guys, check it out. And also make sure you're following Kiki on Instagram at The Talk of Shame. I'll have the links to all of her stuff in the comments. And if you want all of my Bravo shit, it is on Patreon. I did a big Bravo episode, you know, reacting to some of the stuff. I gave you my theory on the Jax and Brittany split because people wanted that today. And I was like, no, that's Patreon. And I've shared some about some of my New York dinners out with some of the friends of the pod. So a lot on Patreon, guys. It's all in the comments. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you all next episode. Bye.